Coming up on show 517, Tesla's record-breaking quarter, Renault's pricing for the Zoe ZE50, and the Honda E driven. Along with those stories, we're talking VW ID3, why BMW are innovating with plug-ins, and I'm going to introduce you to a brand new concept, a phrase you've never heard before. From Porsche. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. My name is Martin Lee. What we do is go through the news. I say we, royal we, it's just me. What I do is go through the news every single day, and I try and pick out the highlights for you to save you time. I know you're busy. I'm sure if you had more time, you'd be reading more EV news. But I know that you're snowed and doing lots of stuff, so what I do is I go through all the news for you and bring you the highlights. Here's your edition for Wednesday, 3rd of July. Thank you to MyEV.com for helping me make this show. MyEV.com is a marketplace in the USA, and this is such a brilliant idea that's all about electric cars only, because lots of people want to buy and sell cars. But if you're into e-mobility, electric cars, clean transport, you don't want to be going on to the usual websites and using those drop-down boxes of, you know, size of engine. Well, okay, this doesn't apply. So they made a fantastic platform all about electric vehicles. Hello to new supporter Sundeep, or Sundip. New supporter Sundeep Mystery. And a new producer of the show is Rob Crawford. And Rob, thank you so much for getting in contact. And it's a pleasure to have you as part of the gang. Hi, Rob. And new executive producers as well, who I met recently, actually. Peter and Dee Roberts. Peter is on Twitter, the Jolly EV Fan. And Dee is Maple Leaf Driver. They together look after Oxfordshire EVs. Tesla has delivered a record-smashing quarter. In the second quarter of the year, 2019, they delivered 95,200 cars. Tesla released record-breaking numbers only a few hours ago, beating all estimates that were out there. Some say the consensus estimate was 91,000 from combining the analysts, but I saw some so-called expert analysts saying it was going to be in the 70,000s, maybe the low 80,000s. These people actually get paid for this? No, they missed it by a really long way. Do they just pick random numbers out of a hat? Anyway, 95,200 vehicles delivered globally. And this is the key, right? Globally in quarter two 2019. And Tesla have been kind enough to break down the numbers for us. The Model 3, 77,550. The Model S and the X combined, 17,650, according to the Inside EV sales scorecard. On the production front, the numbers are a little bit different. So if you remember, I just told you the Model 3 delivered 77,500. They made 72,500. And I told you that the Model S and the Model X, they delivered 17,500, and they actually made 14,500 for those two. So deliveries were 95,200. Production was 87,048. So they obviously had some cars in transit, in stock at the beginning of the quarter, because production was lower than deliveries. Having been through all of the blogs for you, as I always do, been through all of the news, I think there are two key points here that I would, you know, there's so much commentary online, you can get bogged down with it. The podcast could be an hour long, but you haven't got time. And I know that you're busy. And I'm going to try and keep this to the whole show 15 to 20 minutes, as always. So let me try and look, this is just my two things that stand out. Firstly, the Model 3 effect. Secondly, they're taking in more orders than they are delivering cars for. Let's address my first point being the Model 3 effect. And this is something that I haven't seen anybody raise today, at least not overtly, and you could even call it common sense. But I'm going to raise it as a point, the Model 3 effect. Some people in the criticism of Tesla point to a slowing of Model S and Model X, the detriment of those because of the Model 3. But those sales, pretty much flat, maybe they're down ever so slightly. But the numbers, the actual raw data, the volumes, maybe down slightly. But what you're talking about here is the Model S and the Model X combined delivering 17,500. The Model 3 delivered 77,500. The Model 3 effect on the company, we knew it was a big deal when it was unveiled and 500,000 people got in line for a reservation. We know it's a big deal every time Elon talks about it, but I just want to raise it to your attention, really, and just so that you and I are always reminded of it, the Model 3 effect on Tesla. Without the Model 3, They'd be a company that shipped 20,000 cars in a quarter. The Model 3 effect, by being an affordable sedan, and okay, let's not argue about whether $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 is affordable. It's not affordable for me, but I know for some people it is. I know that some people that look at monthly payments as the price of a car, they never even look at the big sticker price. They go, what's my monthly payment? And then they judge the affordability on that. So let's call it affordable for now. The Model 3 effect of being an affordable family sedan is the key driver of all of Tesla's success. In my opinion, and having gone through all of the news today, not enough credit is being given to the Model 3, which has not only given Tesla all of the success that they've done, but as a single model changed EVs on this planet. From the numbers that it sells on its own to the effect that it's having on other car makers and all of their cars being compared to the Model 3. And no disrespect to what company Tesla was before the Model 3, but from being a small-scale, niche, premium EV maker who were still making fabulous cars in smaller numbers, they are now a major player because of a single car model. And that kind of blows my mind. And it almost gets taken for granted now. So that's why I wanted to raise it on the podcast today as one of my two big things to always remember. My second thing, let's come on to that now. This is according to Tesla. Orders generated during the quarter exceeded our deliveries. Orders generated during the quarter exceeded our deliveries. They are delivery constrained. They're not demand constrained. That's the key phrase in all of this, in all of the noise today, in all of the press releases and the billions of words written on automotive blogs and news blogs, so-called journalists. They're entering quarter three with an increase in order backlog. Tesla believe they're well positioned to continue growing total production and deliveries in Q3. So the argument about demand is not one that can be had anymore. The argument about demand, which if you're not familiar with the whole stock price thing, I'm not a shareholder in Tesla, I'm not a Tesla owner or a reservation holder. I hope that I'm reasonably agnostic in this whole thing. I don't have a position about whether the stock price goes up or goes down, but the argument from those people that want to see Tesla fail is that there is no demand, even when Elon Musk said several times in the quarter, nope, no demand problem, we just can't make the cars quick enough, we can't ship the cars quick enough. Every analyst that gets wheeled out on TV or blogger that writes an article online seems to know better than the CEO himself. And that is testament to the fabulous job that those funded by the oil industry, those that don't want to see EVs succeed, unlike you and I, those people that are writing things online every single day to sow seeds of doubt, FUD, the FUDsters who are sowing seeds of doubt about Elon's credibility, his capability, well done to them. Because they've done really well. Because otherwise, intelligent, rational thinking people, from my own personal experience, I've had people say to me, oh, wow, God, that Elon, he's mad, isn't he? Like, what's he doing? And that is simply a narrative driven by people that want to see EVs fail because there is so much invested in the alternative of mining and burning. The narrative of there is no demand for the car has been well and truly put to bed. But it didn't stop them yesterday trying to continue it. And then there was some nice kind of subtle movements on that as those that were trying to sow more seeds of doubt, moving forward to not only will they be profitable, but then quarter three, talking about things like the tax credit. Let's get onto all of that. From Reuters, they say that Tuesday's numbers helped take the sting off a difficult first quarter. So they quickly brushed over the most recent numbers and started harking back to quarter one, in which deliveries plunged and the company lost, they say, $702 million. It was a fraught quarter, they say, hurt by logistics issues at Tesla's international ports and a drop-off in US orders. It's been spurring worries that Tesla may have tapped a limited market for electric cars, despite the positive second quarter numbers. Get this. Despite positive numbers, Wedbush analyst Dan Ives cautioned that the street remained skeptical. Well, the street massively ballsed up guessing these numbers, so with all respect, they've got no credibility. Moving on to CNBC, that chose to focus rather than on the positive story. They did write some in some places. They reported the positive news, but then they quickly moved on to the competition. CNBC says, and I quote, Tesla is facing increasing competition for the high-end electric sports car market. Automakers from Ford to Jaguar are investing billions of dollars to develop their own electric lineups. Volkswagen and Mercedes-Benz began taking orders in May for new battery electric vehicles, with plans to roll out more models in the coming years. Jaguar's I-Pace all-electric SUV swept the industry awards at the New York Auto Show in April. End quote. CNBC going with the argument, which has been around for 10 years now, of, well, yeah, Tesla's doing okay, but you wait until the others come along. Still wheeling that one out, eh? Let's move on to The Verge. You think, like a tech site, it would just be good news that an American, a US tech company, I can't get over how many Americans just, like, do down American, like, the biggest American success story. Where's your national pride? Come on, guys. The Verge reported the good news, but then went in for a really heavy tackle with a reminder about exec departures. Nothing to do with these numbers at all, but they couldn't resist throwing in some bad news. They say this, and I quote, "News of Tesla's quarterly performance comes at a time when Tesla lost three high-ranking executives in the span of a week. Peter Hochholdinger." Sorry, Peter, have I got your name right? One of the company's production VPs recently hired away by Lucid Motors. VP of Engineering Steve McManus left Tesla after 4 years. And VP of Tesla Europe Jan Ormecki also left the company this week. End quote. Well, CNN Business took the story about strong demand and went with this, and I quote, "In the meantime, investors will be closely watching for hints about ongoing demand for Tesla's electric vehicles, as well as details about the company's cash reserves. Tesla has a large debt payment obligation on the horizon." End quote. Once again, there's some good news, but oh, let's sow some seeds of doubt there about cash reserves and debt payments, which is nothing to worry about. And on Bloomberg, Ben Callow had to respond to the host of Bloomberg, really digging and trying to find some sort of negative story in this whole thing about international deliveries. Ah, we'll get Tesla with international deliveries. Watch out for the female host halfway through this, who tries to ask, if people are waiting to buy a Tesla before what she calls more luxurious cars like the Model Y come out, showing an enormous ignorance because the Model Y is the Model 3, but a little bit bigger. They will say what they have to say to try and dig for a negative story. Here's Ben Callow.
One of the concerns that people had raised prior to this number coming out was the fact that international sales might be less profitable or more costly to achieve given the distribution channels. But your view is that with these kind of numbers, that issue is not as much of a concern and that they can get to cash flow positivity?
Look, one of the biggest things with the stock is there's so much noise out there. People are just making stuff up about margin and not being profitable without ever seeing anything out there. I think Tesla can't go too far in this release before it's been audited, but they do say that they've increased cost efficiency in deliveries. As they continue, we're only like a year into the Model 3 ramp here, so costs are going to continue to come down. And so this, the question about profitability, I think, is just, kind of a herring out there. S and X, though, I would be worried about after last quarter, except it recovered nicely. I think it will continue to do so throughout the year here.
Interesting. So you think this isn't a story of cannibalization? This is a story that S and X can continue to get bid for even while the Model 3 is out there? Or are we really waiting for the Model Y and the new, more luxurious net models to be coming out?
I mean, I think that right now, you have 40 million shares about short. Those all could be incremental buyers, especially heading into the rest of the year where you have China coming online. I think that what we've seen out of China so far shows that demand there and the brand value is just now starting to show itself in its value. And, it was a drop in the bucket when they were just selling S and X there. As they build out that factory, which is on target to produce this year, you'll get more awareness about the actual vehicles. It's a status symbol. It's nice to have the factory there in Shanghai for the people there. They want to buy from Tesla, and so that opens up a market that's very, very big. And this whole demand issue that was just created out of nothing should be put to rest right now.
And Rebecca Lindland from RebeccaDrives.com couldn't help sticking the boot in as well.
In terms of the US sales, though, is there a chance that the reduction of that US tax credit that Craig was talking about that might have an impact on the third quarter deliveries?
It absolutely will have an impact on the third quarter delivery. Paul, one of the issues that I have with some of these incentives is that it motivates all the wrong people to buy these vehicles. So you're motivating people that are early adopters that would buy these vehicles anyway. And just at the time when we're trying to make electric vehicles mainstream, we take the incentive away. So we end up really incentivizing the wrong people. So I would love to have us re-examine how we incentivize electric vehicle buyers. In a perfect world, we don't need incentives at all. We have enough demand, but we're not finding that yet. We're still pushing these from a regulatory standpoint onto the market as opposed to consumers pulling.
Well, Bloomberg's Dana Hull wrote this, and I quote, Tesla Model 3 sales are far outpacing rivals. General Motors sold just 3,965 Chevy Bolts in the second quarter. Volkswagen's Audi delivered 1,835 e-trons. End quote. Someone who online gets, Dana gets a fair bit of stick actually on Twitter from people that she will tweet both good and bad things about Tesla. And when she tweets either way, you'll always get the either the fans or the haters having a go at her. She really can't win, but at least she wrote something factually correct and moderately positive today in the news about Tesla. The fact that they delivered almost 100,000 cars, and meanwhile the Bolt was less than 4,000, the e-tron 1,835. Not to dig at those cars, they're amazing cars. But of course, it throws out the window the argument, hey, you wait till the others start building electric cars. Thank you very much for bearing with me on the big Tesla news today. It's not the end of the news. We're going to get to some more stuff today, but I know that I've gone big on this. And it's not a Tesla podcast, so if you'd like to give me some feedback on whether it's too much Tesla news today or not enough, I just think it's huge news for the world of EVs in general. Tesla are literally dragging the automotive industry into a cleaner, greener future. And whether you're a fan of Elon or not, or Tesla or not, or where would we be without them? Ask yourself that. Give me your feedback. I'd love to hear from you as always. You can email me hello@evnewsdaily.com. I'll take your criticism if it's too much Tesla news today on the feedback on Facebook and YouTube as well. Right, the car I drive, the Renault Zoe, a big car here in Europe and the number one selling car most recently actually here in Europe. They're going to make a new one with a 50 kilowatt hour, actually a bit bigger, but calling it the ZE50. It's going to be more than just a little facelift, a lot of new tech underneath it. In many ways, it's like a little baby Tesla. They are announcing the details for Germany and that you can get it at the end of July. Prices starting from about €32,000, that's about $36,000. The price difference between the new Zoe ZE50 with its 52 kilowatt hour battery and the outgoing ZE40 is about €2,000. And that's not bad, actually. Another 10 kilowatt hours of battery and a lot of new tech, actually, for €2,000 more. That's really, really good if you want a small city car that's very popular, that can charge. Now it can charge at 50 kilowatts on DC fast charging, but it's got 22 kilowatts onboard AC charging, which is just amazing. It's because all over France, its home country, are 22 kilowatt AC posts. Well, the Renault Zoe is going to stay very competitive against the current and upcoming new models, things like the Peugeot E208 and the Vauxhall Corsa E. You go for the intense model that's got all the lovely goodies on it, about €28,000. You know, with a battery lease as well, so a small monthly payment to lease the battery, which some people like. I like it because if the battery goes wrong, Renault replace it, so there's no risk there for me. Other people can't get their head around owning a car, but then the battery is on a lease, but anyway. Right, the Honda E is next on the news today. And the Honda E has been driven by journalists and the fully charged YouTube channel. Robert went over there by the looks of it on his own because he's holding the camera doing a kind of a selfie shot. So by the looks of it, no usual camera crew and sound people and all that kind of stuff. Back to the old school when we fell in love with the fully charged channel. Not that we don't love it now, of course, but when it was Robert going a bit old school, we like it. Honda, he reviewed it, and a huge fan, by the way. I'm not spoiling the video by saying he likes it. The Honda E has a 110 kilowatt motor, 35 kilowatt hour battery. It's a very compact battery. They're proud of the tech. They say the single pedal control is really good as well, that you can come to a complete stop without pressing the brake pedal. Small size, 4.3 meter turning radius, which is useful for doing U-turns in urban streets. Pretty comfortable for passengers as well. It's a four-seater, not a five-seater. And instead of side mirrors to get knocked off in city traffic, and also, for aerodynamic reasons, two small little diddly cameras. And Robert, again, absolutely loved them, as it's very natural to look at the cameras rather than wing mirrors. Says Motor1.com. I'll pop a link in the show notes. Moving on to VW and the ID3. A new interview with Volkswagen's chief marketing officer reveals some of the reasoning behind their EV strategy, including further details on the company's new operating system and automotive cloud. Volkswagen's chief marketing officer is Jochen Svingpiel. I hope I got that right. Talking to Automotive News Europe about their marketing approach, says Phil at Electrek. Volkswagen is calling the target audience, the people who would buy an ID3, as the aspirational middle class. They talk about how it fits into the progression of EVs generally. The Golf appeals to the masses, they say. Tesla appeals to innovators, they say. After the innovators come early adopters, we want to target early adopters. That's why our communication is more edgy than conventional cars. If you catch early adopters, others will follow. Good luck to them. Right, BMW made an announcement about their plug-in cars. They announced that from 2020 onwards, any new plug-in hybrid is going to have BMW eDrive zones. A brief description says that cars will switch automatically on their own to electric mode when you come into a zero-emission area. More cities around the world are having zero-emission zones. And according to Inside EVs, when the car senses via its GPS that it's entering a green zone, it will, using geofencing technology, it will recognize it and switch to pure electric driving mode, so there's no emissions. BMW is paving the way for plug-in hybrids to get the same access rights to green zones as fully electric vehicles. What a lot of cities are doing is they're saying we're having green zones, only EVs can come in. BMW are worried that people will buy their cars and realize, well, I can't drive into the city. So they're using this technology to say, no, do buy a BMW plug-in, because even though it's got an engine, when you enter the green zone, it'll go to electric only. But what if your battery is empty? Then you will be using the engine. So, let's see where that one goes. But well done, BMW, for using technology to try and solve a problem. And now, here's a phrase we didn't need, but we've got. Does your car have a foot garage? Because the brand new Porsche Taycan does. Porsche's PR has released an interview with Michael Maurer, the style director of the Taycan EV, and he says this, and I quote, because you also can't make the vehicle wider. The specific challenge with the Taycan was to position the passengers as low as possible without them needing to assume a reclined position like being in a Formula One car. We solved this with foot garages. You heard me correctly. Porsche have invented the foot garage. We did have a phrase for this already, by the way. It's called the footwell. But according to Porsche, they've had to invent a whole new place to put your feet, and it's called the foot garage. That made me laugh today. Right, let's move on to our question of the week this week, set by myev.com. Keep your comments coming in. Contentious, maybe. Sexist, definitely not. I mean this in the openest possible way. I was looking at my stats, my download stats, and 90% of people who listen to this show interested in an EV podcast are male. So, if I ask you why are EVs a guy thing, what would you say? Despite there being plenty of strong female voices in the EV community as cheerleaders for all brands of EVs, does it seem that they're still a guy thing? Let me know your thought. Email hello at evnewsdaily.com. Leave a comment on Facebook and YouTube. Well, thank you to 230 patrons of the podcast. Your generosity means I get to do this every day, which is brilliant for me. I'm not sure about you. But if you want to see what it's all about, patreon.com, patreon.com/evnewsdaily, funnily enough. And you can see what it's all about. There are 516 previous episodes online for free. And if you want to get the new ones first and free and automatically, hit subscribe and you'll be first on the list when I publish every single day. If you want to say hi on the social, search EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. And remember,
this whole demand issue that was just created out of nothing should be put to rest right now.